"That's strange," said the boy, as he tried once again to read the burial scene that began the book. "I've been trying for 2 years to read this book, and I never get past these first few pages." Even without a king to provide an interruption, he was unable to concentrate. He still had some doubts about the decision he had made, but he was able to understand one thing. Making a decision was only the beginning of things. When someone makes a decision, he is really diving into a strong current that will carry him to places he had never dreamed of when he first made the decision. "When I decided to seek out my treasure, I never imagined that I'd wind up working in a crystal shop," he thought. "And joining this caravan may have been my decision, but where it goes is going to be a mystery to me." Nearby was the Englishman, reading a book. He seemed unfriendly, and had looked irritated when the boy had entered. They might even have become friends, but the Englishman closed off the conversation. The boy closed his book. He felt he didn't want to do anything that might make him look like the Englishman. He took Urim and Thummim from his pocket and began playing with them. The stranger shouted, "Urim and Thummim!" In a flash, the boy put them back in his pocket. "They're not for sale," he said.
"They're not worth much," the Englishman answered. "They're only made of rock crystal, and there are millions of rock crystals in the earth. But those who know about such things would know that those are Urim and Thummim. I didn't know they had them in this part of the world."
"They were given to me as a present by a king," the boy said. The stranger didn't answer. Instead, he put his hand in his pocket, took out 2 stones that were the same as the boy's.
"Did you say king?" he asked.
"I guess you don't believe that a king would talk to someone like me, a shepherd," he said, wanting to end the conversation.
"Not at all. It was shepherds who were the first to recognize a king that the rest of the world refused to acknowledge. So it's not surprising that kings would talk to shepherds."
And he went on, fearing that the boy wouldn't understand what he was talking about.
"It's in the Bible, the same book that taught me about Urim and Thummim. These stones are the only form of divination permitted by God. The priest carried them in a golden breastplate."
The boy was suddenly happy to be there at the warehouse.
"Maybe this is an omen," said the Englishman half aloud.
"Who told you about omens?" The boy's interest was increasing by the moment.
"Everything in life is an omen," said the Englishman, now closing the journal he was reading. "There is a universal language, understood by everybody but already forgotten. I'm in search of that universal language, amongst other things. That's why I'm here. I have to find a man who knows that universal language, an alchemist."
The conversation was interrupted by the warehouse boss.
"You're in luck, you too," the fat Arab said. "There's a caravan leaving today for Al-Fayoum."
"But I'm going to Egypt," the boy said.
"Al-Fayoum is in Egypt," said the Arab. "What kind of Arab are you?"
"That's a good luck omen," the Englishman said after the fat Arab had gone out.
"If I could, I'd write a huge encyclopedia just about the words luck and coincidence. It's with those words that the universal language is written."
He told the boy it was no coincidence that he had met him with Urim and Thummim in his hand, and he asked the boy if he too were in search of the alchemist. "I'm looking for a treasure," said the boy, and he immediately regretted having said it, but the Englishman appeared not to attach any importance to it.
"In a way, so am I," he said.
"I don't even know what alchemy is," the boy was saying, when the warehouse boss called to them to come outside.